100.1 FM.
Yes, it is very, very true. The public speaking is number one on the list of things people fear most. In fact, it comes out even higher than the fear of death, can you believe that? Or even a visit to the dentist. I don't mind about dentists these days. Things are a lot better there. But joining me now, he's certainly putting people at ease if they feel in their career or just belonging to a committee that they have to speak in front of people. He's making it a whole lot easier for them. Malcolm Davies from People Performance, and he's an expert at it. Good afternoon to you, Malcolm.
Hi, good afternoon.
Nice to speak to you. I've got to say, I'm very conscious of the way people present and communicate. I'm a bit of a studier of that, I suppose, and I've got strong opinions on people I think just excel. And I think without a doubt, even though it's not in our own country, the former Prime Minister, Barack Obama, was probably one of the best I've ever seen in connecting.
Indeed, yes, absolutely.
Absolutely gorgeous. His style, his technique, his ease, his gentle voice and everything. And, you know, not everyone is blessed with that and that ability. So how do you get somebody that joins a committee and they've got to get up and speak and that sort of thing? Where do you start?
It's a very good question. And I think, Jenny, the main place to start is thinking about your audience. Barack Obama, who you mentioned, was exceptionally good at thinking about his audience and what appeal to them. In terms of maybe closer to home, when we need to speak to groups of colleagues or at a committee, we really need to think about what the audience is looking for. What's of interest to them? What's going to engage them? What sort of things can we bring which are of value? And by value, I don't necessarily mean of monetary value, but all too often, and especially in a more local environment, we tend to use PowerPoint presentations. I mean, obviously, Mr. Obama never did use PowerPoint presentations. And so there tends to be a reliance now on perhaps too much in the way of technology. And therefore, it becomes quite a boring presentation if we don't look at our audience, if we don't engage with our audience, and we purely focus on what might be appearing on a screen behind us.
Bit like a schoolroom, I imagine. And the other thing too that I'm very conscious of is the fact that there's more than just what you're saying. It's about presenting and not overselling yourself. It's about body language. It's about facial expression. It's about pausing at the right time. There's a lot in it, isn't there?
There's far more to it than meets the eye. And I think I was talking to a conference just last Sunday in Melbourne, and the first thing we talked about was having belief in yourself. Many, many people, and you alluded to it in the introduction, many people have a fear of public speaking and presenting, and that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So before you even start to think about what you want to say to your audience, you have to believe that you can do it. And I think it was Henry Ford who once said, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, either way, you're right. So if you believe you can present and you can present with confidence and present effectively, not necessarily as eloquently as Barack Obama, perhaps, but if you believe in yourself and you believe in the subject matter about which you're talking, you will do a good job. If you, however, believe that people will look at you, if they will judge you, if you might make a mistake and they will laugh at you, then, of course, you probably won't do as well. And that's nothing to do with your subject matter. It's more to do with the belief you have in yourself and your ability to have confidence in your subject matter.
It's an innate human fear that we're going to be judged. It goes right back to childhood and having to prove you could win that running race or do well in the classroom. And you carry that through as an adult.
We do. We do that with everything we do in life. And a lot of the work that I do is around helping people to understand that those beliefs are conditioned. You know, we get told not to do this and not to do that. And if you look around the world at the moment, beliefs divide us. Values try and unite us. And I think if we're told somewhere at school or at university that we're not very good at presenting or you just have to do this and get on with it, then perhaps it becomes, you know, the fear of public speaking becomes more obvious. And as you say, it is an innate fear. And we as human beings have got the ability to think about what we've just thought about. There's something for your listeners to ponder. So, you know, if a belief comes into our heads that I'm not going to do very well at this public speaking, I'm not going to present terribly well, I'm going to stutter over my words, we're actually able to stop ourselves and go, well, no, actually I can do better than that. I won't stumble over my words. I do know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do a bit of media training, quite a bit of media training. And the thing with a lot of people is when they start to, even though they know the subject very, very well, and if they were asked by a friend having coffee, tell me about what you're doing now, they'd be able to do it with ease. But when you get a bit of nervousness about the subject or the way you're going to portray it, you tend to fall over your words because you speak too quickly. I think if you slow down, your brain keeps up with your mouth.
It does, and I think, you know, when it comes to presenting, we do need to speak a little more slowly. And also, I'm a great believer in, as you really hit the nail on the head, Jenny, when we talk to our friends in conversation about any topic, the conversation flows, we don't need to stop and think about it. We don't need a script to have a conversation. And I really see presenting in the same way. Many years ago, when I first started to talk about public speaking and presenting, we used to recommend having what people call palm cards, a little card you can hold in your hand and look down and glance at with the key notes. But really, we only need to have a conversation with the audience. It just happens that the audience may be more than one person. And once you have that connection and that understanding, it becomes that much easier.
Oh, look, without a doubt, and we being human beings, I know I keep stressing that point, but we are at this stage, we're not totally robotic. We like our emotions touched. So if it's a subject that lends itself to touching people that may be slightly humorous, don't tell jokes because they fall flat, but it could be something that relates to their lives. You know, they get shocked or surprised or they learn something, then you're holding people.
Indeed, and I think one of the things of the model that I follow around communication is very much that engagement with the audience. It's not only the sensory input, so what we say and what we might show, and that doesn't necessarily mean to be a PowerPoint slide, but also the connection that we have. And humour is very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use humour and try and be a stand-up comedian.
No.
If you're not very good at that. But I mentioned briefly the conference that I was at back last weekend, and my first 5 minutes or so was about where I come from. You might tell from the accent, I'm not from these shores originally, how I came to end up in Australia, a little bit about my family and a little bit about my career background. And people sort of looked at me in a puzzled way in the audience. But then they sort of had the aha moment, which is, I'm only the same as you. I'm a human being.
Yep.
My area of expertise is different than your area of expertise, but at the end of the day, we're human beings. And once we make that personal connection, and for your listeners, those that have to present to committees or to colleagues or to fellow students, if at university, for example, then making that human connection and letting people see, oh, you're just the same as me, puts you at ease as the presenter and makes the audience sit back and go, oh, now I understand that this guy is no different than I am. He just has something interesting to say.
Exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. And the other thing is, too, not having a distraction, and by that I mean not wearing a ridiculous tie, or if you're a female, not wearing leotards or your training gear. Or I know that's exaggerated, but if you have distraction, like, can I just quote, for example, and I always pick on them, I know, but the worst people to communicate, I think, in politics was Julia Gillard and Tony Abbott, for example. But Julia Gillard, unfortunately, she had a lot to say, but you weren't listening because you were criticising her voice, her tone of voice.
Yes, absolutely. And your voice is something that is one of the major tools you use when presenting.
Yeah.
And of course, you need to look the part and you need to dress appropriately. So wearing a suit and a tie to a convention of tradespeople who might wear very different clothing in their day-to-day work may not be appropriate.
Yep.
You still want to look the part. And your voice, as you rightly say, you won't tell from the radio because, of course, you can't see me, but I'm of an age where I grew up in the Margaret Thatcher years in the United Kingdom. And I remember, and some of your listeners may have watched the film Iron Lady, and she had a lot of training to change the way she spoke.
Exactly.
And we don't have to go through, and I know you do media training, and there's a lot to be said to train the voice. But if we talk in a conversational way and we don't have too much of a distraction, and we use a little bit of intonation in our voices, then that's usually enough to get us across the line in most day-to-day sort of presentation scenarios.
Yeah. And knowing your subject, you know, if you know it inside out, you just need a couple of trigger words. And I always encourage us to have a couple of dot points so they don't forget what things they need to cover. Sometimes they get a bit caught up. And now, you're absolutely right. So you've got a book out, haven't you, Malcolm?
I have indeed, yes. Yeah, it's a book about performance of teams, and that's a very broad topic, I know, but it's subtitle is Why Can't We All Get Along? It's Team Performance, Why Can't We All Get Along? And it looks at how people in any walk of life have to work together, have to work as teams, and obviously there are leaders in teams, and we sometimes don't see eye to eye, and that can be through a range of things. So, it's going down quite a storm with some people, and anybody who works in a team might want to take a look at it and get some hints and tips.
Well, I think we should be sending a copy, number one, to our Perth City Council at the moment, that are in absolute disarray, and also into Parliament at the moment.
Well, yes, and I have to say, without getting into politics, I look in dismay at my motherland politics, of Brexit, that of the United States. Let's not talk any more about that, and indeed more closely to home. And it does, you know, you mentioned Barack Obama at the beginning of of the interview, and there are one or two people that stand out in my mind, and you can almost equate those excellent speakers with, and you may not agree with their politics, but there's something about the way they come across, their charisma, their ability to engage people. Exactly. And even if you disagree with their point of view,
you listen.
You're engaged and you listen and you pay attention.
Can I just ask your opinion about the presentation? I'm not talking about his politics or what he's doing or what he's not doing, but his presentation and communication skills of Donald Trump.
It's a difficult one to answer without getting into politics. I believe he, let's compare him to other statesmen. I guess he is a statesman if you define that as being somebody in charge of a particular state.
Yeah.
His language is not engaging.
No.
It is forceful. It is, I would use the term sloppy.
Yeah.
You don't have to be somebody who is a linguist and uses, you know, posh, clever words. You just need to engage people. Yeah. And the way that he comes across, the way he uses his hand signals, I mean, gestures, when you're presenting to a group of one or 1,000, it's about open body language and being open and showing your vulnerability.
Yep.
His hand gestures, and I saw a super thing on the internet a little while ago. Somebody had got a series of his speeches and had drawn in a cartoon accordion between his hands.
Yeah.
and this hand, this constant hand gesture of opening and closing his hands, it's an attempt at trying to be open.
Yeah.
But the reality is he's not. Yeah. And I find his directness and it's difficult to say without saying his one-sidedness, because it is one-sided. But no, I find it very difficult to listen to, mainly because of his poor grammar, his poor use of language. Yes. And as I say, you don't need to be a linguist, but you do need to use the right words that people
very
pay
true.
Attention to.
Yes, you don't want those other distractions, that is for certain. It has been fabulous to speak to you. Thank you very much indeed, Malcolm.
Thank you, Jenny. Very much appreciate your time.
Pleasure.